Welcome to Booking the Territory, a pro wrestling podcast hosted by Mike Mills and Doc Turner. This podcast is all about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. And now, here's your host, Mike Mills.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in for another episode of Booking the Territory, where this week we got another great show today with part two of our discussion with former WWE superstar and Nexus member Michael Tarver. Before we get into that, y'all know what I gotta do. I gotta say hello and thank the sponsors for sponsoring the show. First off, I want to say thanks to Jason Smith, your trusted Farmers Insurance agent who works in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he can help you out with all of your insurance needs from auto, home, commercial, life, and health in the state of Texas. So if you live in the state of Texas, doesn't matter where, give my buddy Jason a call at 972-834-2516. You can also email him at jason@goodguyllc.com. He'll hook you up. He helped save me $400 a year on my home coverage, and I know he can do the same for you. So no matter who your current insurance is, give my buddy Jason a call or email him for a free, yes, I said free assessment. He can do everything over the phone. Give him a call. He'll hook you up. He'll try to get you the best rates he can. And again, it's free. Also want to say thanks again to TNA's Wrestling Palace, located in Traders Village. For those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they're your one-stop shop for your wrestling memorabilia needs. Give my buddy Arturo a call at 469-337-8537. Even if you're not in the Dallas area, trust me, give him a call. He can ship to you, and he can get a hold of pretty much anything you may want from a wrestling memorabilia standpoint. Also want to say thanks to Better Choices. Better Choices, again, was co-founded by healthy lifestyle coaching duo Eric and Malika Bill of New Orleans, Louisiana. When it comes to healthy lifestyle tips, recipes, meal planning, motivation, and support, or personal healthy lifestyle coaching, Better Choices is the vehicle to get you there. Whether your goal is to lose 10 or 100 pounds, Better Choices is the avenue to do it. These two folks have not only lost the weight, but they have kept it off for a considerable amount of time. Connect with them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest at Better Choices CO, and you can catch them on their website at www.betterchoices.co. Thanks again for all the sponsors, for all of your help with us producing the show and kicking in a little money to help us offset those production costs. I can't say thanks enough. Also, as we get into this week's episode where we're going to talk to Michael Tarver again for part two, remember, make sure you're following us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. My personal Twitter is at @Mike504Saints. I appreciate everyone who's followed the show and my personal page so far. We thank you as we get our numbers up and try to grow our audience and reach out to more and more fans just like you. Also, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. I want to say big thanks to everyone who liked the page last week that heard the show. We hit 5,000 likes. We're almost actually at 5,100 now, last I checked. Big, big thanks to all of you who helped us out with getting us some likes on facebook.com, Booking the Territory. Much appreciated. Can't say thanks enough. Also, make sure you use Facebook and Twitter to submit your weekly show topics and comments about WWE, Ring of Honor, TNA, you name it. We will try to cover it. We love getting your topics because, you know, a lot of times it's hard for Doc Turner and I to come up with ideas to discuss on a show. So when we get your thoughts, we'd like to incorporate it into the show. In return, we'll give you a shout out, and it's all good. You get to hear your name on the air, and we love discussing what you send in. So keep those thoughts and comments and questions coming. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, Podbean.com, or Stitcher so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And like I was saying, today I'm going to talk again with part two of my discussion with Michael Tarver, Tyrone Evans, who is formerly of the Nexus and a WWE superstar. After Michael Tarver and I wrap up, it's time for Doc Turner and hopefully Hardbody Harper, if he does not have technical difficulties again, and I to insult each other as we address your Twitter and Facebook comments from the week in wrestling. Hey, Tyrone Evans, man, if you're listening to this, I just want to say thanks again. I really appreciated you coming on the show. I know we have a couple mutual friends, but you gave me 2 hours of your time, and honestly, man, I expected 30 to 45. I can't say thanks enough, so big thanks to you. If you are not already following him, make sure you give Michael Tarver a follow. That's at Tyrone Evans B20. He is going to talk this week a little bit more about what went on with him and John Cena. He's also going to touch on some things related to what's going on with his music and what he's got going on there for an album he just, I guess you say he just produced and he is the star of. It's on, I know it's on iTunes, but make sure you follow him on Twitter and then also go to his Facebook page. I think it's under Tyrone Evans - Michael Tarver. You can follow everything he's got going on there as well for his music. So, hey, I appreciate it again, Tyrone. Thanks again for coming on. You are welcome back anytime. For the time being, though, fans, sit back, kick back, and enjoy part two of our discussion with Michael Tarver, Tyrone Evans on the Book in the Territory podcast right now.
And, you know, and,
I got, okay.
Right.
I got.
And, just, and a whole bunch of other things with Cena. But, so when I posted and tweeted about it, it just blew up out of control. And, you know, I'm like, oh my God, what did I do? That's not what I meant. I didn't mean, I'm not, you know, because before I left, I went back down to developmental. And now, during that time with Nexus, I had already had my groin on the right side, and as far as my right leg, my right quad, I torn my groin in Toronto at a house show. You know, we were doing in Toronto. So my right groin was the size of a watermelon, and it was purple. And I had a sleeve. I had like a sleeve I had to pull up over my leg to wear on my groin. And if you, there's some of the pictures when I'm wearing my trunks, but you see like a sleeve on my right quad. That's what it was for. And basically, it was a constriction, like a compression sleeve, and it helped me to lift up my left knee because I couldn't lift my right leg. I couldn't lift it. I couldn't walk. I couldn't run. But I had to keep wrestling. And we're traveling 5 days a week, you know. Then I had the forearm thing. So I had the quad. My quad or my groin was torn and excruciating pain. Here I am taking FUs, taking RKOs, taking choke slams. I mean, taking everybody's finisher all over the world, all over the country. The next night on Raw after the chair thing, mind you, I got the torn groin already. Now I got my arm, and when I walked out, I had my arm taped up to my elbow, you know, and that's what I tell people. Like, if you watch that episode, you'll notice the sleeve on my right leg and the tape on my left arm was taped higher than the tape on my right leg because my arm was fractured. I didn't, you know, I just had nothing, like, and I couldn't even barely use it. We had a gauntlet. It was set up to where each one of the Nexus members, Wade Barrett was standing on the announce table, and each one of the Nexus members had a couple minutes with Cena. Well, it was Cena had set it up to where I got the least amount of time and I got no offense. So, and he was, you know, the whole time, this is going to highlight you guys, show what you guys can do, blah, blah, make the most of this. So, Tarver, and he kept pointing to me, like, Tarver, you're just going to, you know, I can't remember what he was saying. He just kept, like, in front of everybody, he was clowning me. And everybody would look at me like, wow, like, what do we do? This is horrible. What do we do? And I had to just eat it. Be like, okay, no problem. And it just set up for basically, I come in and attack him in the corner, eat his boot, and then drop, and then he gives me the STFU submission, right? So I'm angry, and I'm very, very angry. I remember going to David Otunga and telling him I'm going to shoot him, and I shouldn't have done that. At least I shouldn't have told David Otunga. I should have told anybody. But I went in and I shot on him. And I stood up for myself. That's what you're supposed to do. It's also part of the game. With respect, you stand up for yourself. You can't let somebody walk all over you. And it just is what it is. And Dr. Tom, one of my favorite people ever in this business, Dr. Tom Pritchard, he told me, you won't get anywhere in this business without getting heat with somebody. And it just is what it is. You're going to get heat with somebody.
Somewhere down the road, it's going
to
happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah. It has to happen. If you didn't get heat with anybody, you didn't make it. And you're a liar, basically.
Right.
Because somebody's going to disagree with you about something or just not like you for whatever reason. And this is it. You know, and I jump in that ring and proceed to beat the mess out of Cena. I'm punching him. I'm a trained boxer, so I'm, like, giving him body shots to the rim, hitting him, like, hard. And I'm booting him. I'm, like, stomping him, and I'm putting my heel in his back. Like, I'm stomping him. So I'm, like, I'm clubbing him to the back. Like, I'm hitting it hard. You know, I'm like, you ain't going to do that much to me. Like, I'm going to stand up for myself. I wasn't trying to hurt him. I was just trying to let him feel me. Like, I'm not.
Sending a message. I get you.
Right. And I'm stomping him. And I couldn't, mind you, I'm trying to give him boots, put the boots to him with a torn groin. So I'm trying to put the boots with him, and the groin was in my right leg, and I'm trying to stomp him with my right leg. I couldn't lift my right leg to stomp him because he wouldn't come up off the mat. He was staying laid on the ground, and he wouldn't come up off the mat. So I'm like, all right, oh, well, I'm going to stomp you then. So I'm stomping him, and I couldn't lift my right leg. While doing it, I hyperextend my left leg, and you can see it. You can actually see it. And it was, and like, I hyperextended so bad that I almost crumbled, like I almost fell. And the referee, Mike Yoda, backs me off, and I'm, like, selling. And he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, let me have it. I'm, like, stumbling. I limp to him, gives him the boot, drops down, gives me permission. I roll out of the ring. And that night we actually had a double taping of Raw because we came out and filmed our next segment that same night, actually. People don't know that, but we double taped Raw because I think we were overseas the following week. But we taped Raw twice that night, and Raw wasn't live the next week. But I'm rolling out and sitting by the announce table on the floor with the rest of the guys. I'm like, my knee. I'm like, we saw that. Are you okay? I'm like, my knee. I can't move it. So I get up, and I'm like trying to limp on both legs backstage. Then finally they take the knee pad off. My left knee swells up to the size of a grapefruit. Come to find out, I have a bone bruise in my left knee. So now I have a bone bruise in my left knee. My quad groin is torn in my right leg, and my left forearm is fractured. Still doing the whole Nexus thing, and it gets worse. Still doing the Nexus thing. We end up at a live event loop in Texas. I was going to Goldust. I'm like, hey, you know, what do I do to get more dark matches? All the Nexus guys were getting dark matches except for me, or getting house show matches except me. And I'm like, okay, what do I do to get a house show match? And Goldust, love him to death. You know, he was like, hey, tell him Goldie will work with you. Tell him I work with you. You know, go to him, you go to Johnny, go to what ages or whatever. Tell him, hey, if he had a dark match, tell him that Goldust said he'd work with you. I'm like, oh, my God, thank you so much. The whole Rose family, I love them. Cody, all those guys. I was really close to Dusty in this short amount of time I was there. They were just nice people. And I go to Malenko, Dean Malenko, and he's like, well, you got to talk to Johnny. Because I always had a decent relationship with Dean Malenko. And so you got to talk to Johnny. Johnny books the house shows. So I go to John Laurinaitis, and I asked him, hey, you know, how can I get dark matches on the show? I talked to Goldust, and he said he would work with me. He said, tell me to say he would work with me, you know, if you put me on show, because I wanted to work with him anyway, you know, because I always worked with him pre-show, you know, on TVs. We get to Raw the next Monday, that Monday of that weekend. We had already been on Raw 3 days already, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Get to Raw, No, it wasn't Texas. It was Texas when I asked. But, like, the next weekend when it happened, I think we were on the West Coast. I remember that Raw happened in Oregon, Portland.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't the same weekend. But, anyway, the following weekend or whatever it was, I get to Raw, come to find out, you know, Johnny's like, well, we're going to take you out of the Nexus. I'm like, what? So we're about the whole dark match thing. We're not going to give you any matches. We're going to take you out of the Nexus. I'm like, huh? And at first I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm about to get buried. I thought, well, no, maybe they're going to give me a push. Because behind the scenes, what people didn't know, we were doing promo classes. And we were starting promo classes. And Vince would do the promo classes with all of the talent of, you know, Monday and Tuesday, you know. And sometimes Triple H would do the promo class. And Freddie Prinze Jr., the actor, was there. And he would also help with the promo class. And he would do an actor's studio to help us, you know, deliver the lines and the dramatic moments better. So... And what would happen during the promo classes, again, people don't know, during the whole Nexus thing, Vince just, in NXT, Vince favored Bryan Danielson so much, he tried to squeeze so much blood out of that turn up. Oh, my gosh. Like, he would just stand him up and force him to do promo. Like, it just, oh, my, Vince. And like, he was just, he wouldn't call anybody else. It was always Daniel Bryan. Other than that, or Wade Barrett. He loved Wade Barrett. Vince loves his British guys, especially his Irish guys, his Scottish guys. He loves British guys. You know, So I would start standing up and interrupting promo class and just doing impromptu promos. And he would do the thing where he would say, he'd give us a word. He'd say, here's a word. He'd give us a random word. We had to tell a story involving that word and related to a match that night. Basically a selling promo to sell the match. Because there's different kinds. People don't even realize there are different kinds of promos. And people don't even realize that I'm good at promos. Oh, really? Well, okay. There's more than one kind of promo. People don't realize that. And
yeah, I got you.
I was learning that, you know, and so I would stand up. I'm like, you know, I remember the first time. I was like, listen, man, give me a word. And I stood up in front of everybody like, oh, my gosh, what is Tarver doing? And he looked at me. He said, okay. He said, well, Michael Tarver wants to do a promo. And everybody kind of chuckled, so he gave me a word. Killed it. And everybody was, every time I would get, every time I get standing ovations, every time, until it got to a point where people started to expect me to stand up and do impromptu promos. And there was one time where I stood, it was in Philly actually, I stood up and interviewed and interrupted Brent Vince, and you know, and so he gave me a word, did the promo, got a standing ovation again. Vince ended promo class. And I remember he said, he just, after I finished the promo, everybody stood up and started clapping. And he stood up next to me, walked next to me, looked at everybody, and he said, and I quote, "That was classic. Classlessness. Ended promo class."
Mm.
So I'm like, if you can impress Vince McMahon like that and not get the mic on TV, but then that was when I started to get little tidbit promos. Like, you know, during the time period of Timeline with Nexus, Wade Barrett did all the talking. He was a leader. Makes sense. But then they started allowing me to have one or two lines, basically. Me and Heath Slater, and then sometimes David Otunga. But they would allow me to have one or two lines. Well, then there'll be those times where Wade Barrett would walk up to each one of us and we all answer the question our own way, whatever. But they would start giving me lines. And then we do the backstage promo segments. I would always be the one doing those segments, or David Otunga. And that's just how it went. But then the night that I got taken out of the Nexus, basically what happened was it was the match with Mark Henry, and that was when Cena was forced to join the Nexus. It was Mark Henry and Evan Bourne, and Cena picks me to be his partner. Originally, what I saw backstage is that it was supposed to be Justin Gabriel that night, but they changed it to me. Like on the dry erase board, with the infamous dry erase board at WWE, where the matches are listed, it was Justin Gabriel, and they scratched his name off and put Michael Tarver. I was like, "Oh, I got a match tonight." Okay. Sure enough, I was getting kicked off the Nexus and taken off TV. But then I started to realize what was going on. I'm like, "Holy crap, this is a hit! Like, I'm about to get this is a hit," and that happens in wrestling. And people don't realize that actually happens. Where somebody will come in and shoot on you, and with the intention to shoot on you. And I'm like, "Interesting. Okay," because over the course of time, every time we ran in the jump scene, after the first time, with the chair thing, I started lighting them up every time. Every time we saw each other, like we exchanged blows, I'd hit them hard. Before that, it would always be working punches. Like, I'd always work, I wouldn't touch him, I'd work,
Right.
But after that, the whole chair thing, I would blast him every time. Then he started hitting me hard. So then I started hitting him harder. And then, got to the point where I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. So we're going, just because we're going to get to a real punching match, and he's not going to win because I'm a real boxer, and I'm going to lose
right.
my job. It's just a really bad situation. And so I was like, all right, let me lighten up. So I tried to lighten up with him, and he kept being stiff with me. So I kept stiffening back. And, whatever. And I didn't have a problem with it. I'm like, that's how we roll. Fast forward back to my last night at Nexus. We talk over the match, and they go over everything, and I'm like, interesting. So this is how I'm going out. All right, no problem. And all whole day I'm thinking, wow. Now, again, got the bone bruise in my knee, quad, right quad, my left knee, my right quad is, the size of a watermelon because of my groin, and my left forearm is fractured. So I can barely walk. I couldn't even defend myself, but I'm still
right,
traveling.
You messed up, man. I mean, you're torn up at this
up.
Point.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We have the match, and he calls a spot during the match where he picks up the steps because he was very strong. He picks up the step, top half of the steps, and throws in that. And we've done that spot before, him and I, and he also did it with Darren Young. Where he picks it up and fires it up and throws it at you, walk towards him, he throws it at you, you eat it and bump. And I've done that before. Why don't we do something different? And I started in FCW. I would take crazy bumps. I wanted to make that my thing, that I would take the crazy bumps on the floor, on the steps or whatever. Just real creative stuff. Like, I was willing to give my body. That was the perception I was trying to give, because no matter what I did, they just refused to give me any credit for being a good worker. It was an unwritten rule. Never put Michael Tarver over for being a good worker. So I tried to overcome that. So I basically told him, I said, why don't you slam me on the steps? He's like, what? I'm like, because we didn't talk the whole day. He's just a prick to me the whole day behind the scenes. So I walked up to him, and I'm like, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going out, I'm going out big. He said, that's what I know is going on here. So if I'm going out, I'm going out big. I'm going out my way. He said, okay.
Right,
said,
right.
Why don't you slam me on the steps? I said, I've done it in FCW before. It'll be more impactful. You've done the thing where you throw the steps at people before. Do what you got to do. I said, you sure?
Right,
about
right.
That? I said, yeah. He said, okay. We get to the match. Get to the spot. Take the steps. puts them down, puts them in place, slams me on them. Except the first time, it was short. So my lower, no, I think it was long, or it was short. My lower back hits the corner, the closest corner of the steps, and my right calf hits the far corner of the steps.
Mm.
So I tore, my right calf ended up being torn, and I had a slip disc in my lower back, which led to a sciatic nerve problem that I have now to this day. And then, they, you know, it, fans wanted another one. You know, and I'm laying there like, oh, my God, this is such a horrible idea. So he walks up to me, picks me up. I said, one more. They said, one more time. I said, another one. He said, another one. I said, yep, another one. He said, okay. Picks me up, slams me again, slams me long. I don't know if it, which one was first, but lower back hits the, you know, hits the far end of the corner, up the edge or whatever. And I couldn't move. So I crawl back into the ring. He grabs, you know, he crawls back into the ring. He sets up in the corner, charges me, chop blocks me from the front. I take a bump, you know, flip over. You know, turns me over, puts the STFU on, I tap out, end of the second. I walk backstage, referee said, oh, I didn't walk, actually, referee's coming, grabbed me and dragged me backstage because at this point, I couldn't move. And my back, I couldn't stand up, I literally couldn't stand any weight on my lower back, and my right calf was already swollen and it was purple, like it was bleeding. It was a huge cut, like a scar on my right. Those steps are sharp.
God.
And I still have the scar on my right calf. And I'm like, and so we're, you know, going backstage to the side of Gorilla. I walk up into Gorilla to, you know, to make sure I show face, shake hands, thank everybody, thank Vince. Right before I walk up in there, I took a deep breath, straightened up, walked up in that bad boy like I was not in any pain. And, man, inside, I wanted to cry. But I walked up in there, shook everybody's hand. I walked into a standing ovation, basically. It was Hunter, it was Triple H, it was all of the agents. You know, the room was only, can only fit about half a dozen people or so. But they were clapping.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. I'm looking around like, they're like, kid, good job. I'm like, really? They're like, you did a great job. Because they didn't know I could sell like that. And I'm like, you didn't know I could sell?
Yeah.
Like, really? So, but I said, okay, thank you so much. I remember Pat Patterson, legendary Pat Patterson, for the first time and only time ever in my entire 4 years in WWE, shook my hand. The only time he ever shook my hand that day. Every time, there were times where I would try to shake his hand, he would look me up and down and walk away from me. And he would never shake, so I never shook his hand. I never tried. Pat Patterson never shook my hand. That night, you know, I walked out of Gorilla like, what in the world just happened? So I'm like limping and like leaning on stuff as I walk by. Here comes Pat Patterson, walks up and he stops me and says, kid, you did a great job. That was a great job. You shook my hand. I'm like, are you serious? Like, Pat Patterson just shook my hand? I'm like,
holy
wow.
Crap.
Then I get surrounded by the roster, and they're all like, oh, my God, are you okay? Are you okay? Like, everyone's like, man, that was amazing. Are you okay? Turned out, I think it was the highest-rated segment on the show.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, oh, one of? So I was like, I'm like, okay, I'm good and all of that. And I ended up going, you know, back into the locker room. Cena happened to be dressing in the male talent locker room with us that night, or he was in there that night. I don't know why, because he usually dresses in his van, in his bus. And I walk in, you know, and he's in there, and everybody's standing up, and he's in front of everybody. He stands up, shakes my hand, and says, thank you. He said, you okay? I said, I'm good. He said, are you sure you're okay? He said, I'm good. I said, he says to me, he said, I wouldn't have been able to do that. He said, I wouldn't be okay after that. I said, are you sure you're okay? I said, I'm good. He said, thank you for doing that. Thank you very much. I said, no problem. I'd love to do it again. That was it. And then nothing long. Then I go back to developmental, and you know they're telling me, all right, kid, we're gonna have you send you back down and work on your offense a little bit. And I'm like, inside, I'm thinking, work on my offense. You told me I wasn't allowed to have offense. Literally, like before matches, we were calling because we had to call the entire match to the producer, and they would veto certain spots, and they were like, any offense I had to veto, I wasn't allowed to have any offense. Like I'm telling you, honest to God, true. So like I can't, you know.
No, I believe you. It's hard when you're told, yeah.
Yeah. Like I can't
That's
be
crazy.
Good at something that I'm not allowed to do.
Same with Yeah.
They took it. I did it a couple times on Raw, and then they took it away from us. I wasn't allowed to do it. No one's going to be knocking anybody out for a big show. The next thing you know, Roman Reigns is knocking people out with Superman fight. You know. But, you know, whatever. Anyway.
Oh, it's crazy. That's crazy.
Cena and I had a good conversation. I walked up to him, approached him. You know, and we had a good conversation, and I did a vignette and some promos, cost me a couple thousand dollars, got some T-shirts made, some merch, walked into Vince McMahon's office, knocked on his door, unannounced, walked into his office, handed it to him and said, you told him exactly what he was. And he was like, really? Told him I took liberty of filming my own vignette and my own commercial and my own promos and merch. I handed him the disc with everything on it. And I said, all you got to do is push play, and put me in the ring, and let me go. And he just said, wow. He said, okay. He said, thank you for taking the initiative. I said, sir, there's more where that came from. Thank you for your time. Walked out. I was in his office for 1 minute. People were scared to walk up to Mr. Man, let alone walk up to his office. Who'd been there for years. I walked into his office. Was in there for 1 minute and impressed him. Then got released. And then here comes Gregory Irons and the whole thing with him. And, you know, and then, you know, it just, he pops up and, Michael Tarver, almost Tyrone Evans almost killed me. And that's his attempt to rise to fame, I guess. And it's like, wait a minute. I'm surprised. I'm like, I heard about the whole deal with him and Punk putting him over in the match in Chicago, and I was happy for him. And then I had no idea that he was about to try to use me to get over. And then it happens, and he comes out, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, dude. And I tried to talk to him. I tried to reach out to him. I didn't have his number. I tried to reach out to him on Twitter. I'm like, Greg, you know what's going on? Call me. Talk to me. I sent him a DM, my number. Oh, Greg, call me.
Right.
What is this about? Wouldn't contact me, but he wanted to keep it on social media. And, you know, like Tyrone Evans tried to kill me, and this and that. I'm like, what? And I'm seeing YouTube videos, and I'm like, what? All over Facebook. And I'm like, what is this kid doing? I'm like, yo, call me. Talk to me. Like, what is this about? Nope. Didn't
I mean, did he, like, maybe... I'm not taking his side or anything.
You're fine.
You know, did he like, I mean, like, was he sitting there going, well, if I do this, you know, maybe it'll get me more bookings. Maybe it'll get people to, I don't know, man. I'm just trying to think of a crazy reason why somebody would even imagine to start doing that. You know what I mean?
That's exactly why. What, I mean, what's the point to be in this business?
Right.
Not to try to get over and make more money. And
so he's trying to use that to catapult him.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems, you know, I've seen guys do different stuff to get bookings, but that just, you're on the back of someone else's career. That's bad.
Well, I mean, at the expense of somebody's career. And
That's what I meant. You're leveraging, and at the expense of somebody else's career, you want to do something like that. It's just, that ain't right.
Right.
I mean,
and,
come on, man.
You know, I was upset about it, but I'm like, what? I'm like, why would you do this? And I'm thinking, wow, perfect cover. I'm getting all of this heat from the WWE marks who just refuse to believe that John Cena is anything but the knight in shining armor that they portray him to be, only because I stupidly posted something on Twitter and mentioned what he did. And not to mention, I had done countless phone interviews, podcasts, radio shows. I even went on a major radio show, a radio station here in Florida, and like a major, major radio station in syndication, like national syndication here in Florida, and interviewed about John Cena. And every time I gave him respect, you know, I told the story, but I mean, I told him, I said, look, this, it wasn't the way that wasn't how I intended that to come out. You know, I explained it, and I took responsibility. I'm like, no, I didn't mean to make it seem like he tried to hurt me on purpose and all that. And I believe he was trying to hurt me on purpose. I do believe he was taking liberties, but he wasn't trying to hurt me on purpose, you know, and so on and so on. And I gave him respect, and, you know, so the story had been told a million times, so people were starting to come around and see, like, oh, that's not what Michael Tarver is about. But there were still diehard marks who just want to hate me. So then when Gregory Irons comes up with this lie, then that took him over the edge, the few people that heard the story, you know. And he took it and ran with it until, you know, and then it escalated on Twitter, and then he just started posting all these videos, and
yeah.
Next thing you know, people actually wouldn't book me. I'm like, no, this is not going to happen again. This is not going to happen again. And so, I think 2 years later, I had brought it back up on Twitter. I was trying to reach out to him again. I'm like, yo, you know, Greg, this is, you know, we should talk about this. You know, I voluntarily brought it up. I'm like, hey, you know, I hope you're doing well, but we should really talk about this. You know, I think we should deal with this. You know?
Right, right.
And he went back on his, you know, whole deal, and he goes on Facebook, and a friend of mine screenshot his post on his Facebook page and goes and asks all his friends to attack me on Twitter. I read it, and I'm thinking, that's so pathetic. You wouldn't ask your friends to attack me on Twitter? Like, you can't address me yourself? Aren't you a grown man?
Come
you know, and
on,
I'm like,
man.
Right, but
that's
what he did.
Just
I saw
insane.
It. Yeah, and I'm like, I got attacked from all kinds of stands from all around that area. I'm like, you know, and then the few people that saw it, you know, and I'm looking at some of the comments on, you know, I read the comments, you know, on the YouTube and some of the views. He's got my picture, my name, like everything he can to link it to me all over his, you know, trying to get himself over. Then he starts posting all of these little promotional videos about himself. And I'm like, what a great marketing plan. Good job. I'm like, you know, I give you kudos for your marketing plan, but you're lying. And every time he would, you know, come out on Twitter and try to attack me or whatever and, you know, basically calling me the bully, but he's actually the one being the bully, while I'm trying to, like, be nice to him, I post a video of him and Johnny Gargano, who's a friend of mine, but Johnny Gargano was also another Cleveland guy. Him and Johnny Gargano are friends. And, you know, I feel like closer friends than I am to him. There's a spot they did for a wrestling company in Cleveland where, and it's still up on YouTube, where, and it's actually titled Johnny Gargano Almost Kills Gregory Iron with Chair Shots or something like that is what it is. Anyway, Greg is laying on the ground, and Johnny Gargano is just blasting him with repeated chair shots, just lighting up his prone body, just bang, 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 like just lighting him up. And I'm like, God, like those. Jeez. I'm like, you're smart enough to do that for sympathy using the handicap angle, which I get it, you should.
Right.
But I gave you a safe German suplex, and might, in the interest of being fair, might have accidentally given you a concussion. And to be honest with you, I've gotten concussions before, and I didn't give him a super. I didn't like throw him super stiff. Like I just, you know, I released him, and he bumped him. You know, he bumped. He took a high bump. It could have been in the way he bumped. And even if it wasn't me, he took a super stiff power bomb. You know, so and after the suplex, he, you know, he sold. They picked him up. So I've seen that they got a new clip of it now where they show most of it, but. And whoever it was, I think the guy picked him up, and he's, like, still in the cell, but he's going to be in the drunk cell. And, again, he could have been rocked, you know, in all fairness. You never know. But then he gets picked up and receives a super stiff power bomb, and he's moved after that. So I'm like, okay, well, I don't know which hurt you, but I know that I went to him and talked to him about it. But
well, you want to know the irony behind a concussion is, okay, so let's say you did get a concussion, because I've had them. You know, when you get a concussion, one of the side effects or effects of a concussion, I should say, is can be memory loss. So yep. I'm going to throw something at you now that I'm probably sure you've probably thought of is if I like I was telling you earlier, when I got a concussion that time and that board smacked me in the back of the head as I was going down, the thing is, I don't really remember a lot of stuff from that night. Like I don't, not just before and, you know, like before and after, I don't have recollection of it. I know it happened and I remember it blacking out and being cloudy, but there's a whole lot of things I don't recall. So for him to be able to specifically recall and say, well, Michael Tarver, he that German is what caused it. Well, you know, I'm not trying to bury him when I say this, but how can you, How can you even say that's what did it when you took from what you're saying, you know, a couple of other stiff bumps beside that one? How do you know which one caused after it? How do you know what caused it?
How do you know which one?
You don't.
Right.
You don't.
And
especially if you're being thrown around, man.
Right. And he finished the battle royal until he got eliminated. So he kept working. You know, and the irony of it is that the match is on YouTube. So, you know, it's up on you conveniently. It's back up on YouTube now. You know, so you can actually see where I suplexed him, and then he was picked up and suplexed a few more times, you know, which obviously to get him more sympathy. But what he doesn't realize is in doing that, I said that. I'm like, I'm never going to try to make you look bad, but you're making yourself look bad because no real pro, no real legend, someone who's been around this business for a long time is going to take that seriously. What might be one of them good old boys who just, you know, who will see me the way they see me no matter what I do. You know, they're just going to – they'll see it the way they see it. But anyone else outside of that, you know, crab-in-a-barrel mentality, far from old-school wrestling, they'll look at everything you're saying to me like, kid, people get hurt all the time. Like, why are you in this business? Like, are you going to
try
and bury somebody every time you get hurt? Like, why are you in this business?
And that's an understatement. Like the amount of people that take headshots or bad bumps and the bumps and bruises, and for you to cry, I can feel you.
Yeah.
And you know what? You were in a no win situation with it because you're talking about a guy who was handicapped, and that's not to knock him. As a handicapped person, you know, of course the media or fans are going to side with him. I hate to say it that way, but it's just the sympathy is going to go that route. The sympathy is not going to go towards Michael Tarver, Tyrone Evans on what happened. Mm-hmm. It just ain't going to happen in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, that's just how it is. So that's the sad part about it. But hey, I don't I do before we wrap up, I don't want to forget to mention, because I was on Twitter the other day and I ran across your music, and I knew from Colts deal that you had a record contract years ago. So I wanted you to be able to. I know I do a wrestling podcast, but I think it's worth mentioning your music, because one of the things I do, I don't really listen to today's music. When I work out, I listen to pretty much old stuff. And one of the rappers I do listen to is actually I listen to a little bit of Lecrae.
Because
I just I like kind of Christian rap, but I wanted to like be impactful, and I caught yours, and I was like, man, this is a it's kind of like got a different sound to it. So I just want you to before we wrap up, because you've given me a lot more time than I can even ever have imagined. I want you to go ahead and talk about your music. That I mean, today is August the 7th. It just dropped today, but go ahead and talk about that.
Sure, thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, I basically. I've been doing music my entire life, and I started playing the drums when I was 15, and I taught myself how to play the drums. I'll never forget it. I decided one day that I wanted to play the drums. I grew up in the church. My mother was actually a preacher, and that's real, you know, and I grew up in the church, and there was a guy, the drummer at the church somehow left, and they hired a new drummer, and I remember I told my parents, for some reason, I just decided I wanted to play the drums, because I had already... Mm-hmm. Been, you know, I would write rap songs and, you know, trying to, you know, be like his favorite rappers and so forth and so on. And, but anyway, you know, my parents, my father sang and my whole family sang. I told him I wanted to play the drums, so he's like, all right, cool. So we asked the actual lead pastor of the church and asked the drummer, you know, if he minded. He said, of course not. So I would sit and shadow him at the front of the church and just watch him play the drums every week. And I would just watch him. You know, he would show me a couple things, but basically I would just sit and just watch him. You know, and study him, basically. Study everything he was doing. Well, that only lasted like maybe a month or 2 months. And in a matter of 2 months, I could do everything he could do. And he had been playing the drums for years. And I learned everything phonetically. It's just, if I see it, I can do it in most cases. And that's how I learned music. And, you know, in the world of wrestling or whatever else, but mainly music is how I learned music. I would hear something and I could imitate it. But he, after 2 months, I could do everything he could do. And that just carried on into everything. Like, the more I played, then I became the drummer of the church, honest, because he had to leave. I'm 15 years old. I'm the drummer of the church, you know. And that carried on in the music and, you know, and more in the hip-hop and all of that, and started writing songs. I started actually producing, like, making beats. I was, like, I want to say 18 or 19. I was 19, and I was in a rap group back home in Ohio where I'm from. And I started making beats. Like, I made my first beat when I was 19. I just basically became the producer for the group. I just naturally got percussion. I knew how to, you know, and I taught myself how to play the piano and the guitar to a small degree. Like, I can't, like, you know, sit down and play Beethoven, but I can play enough to make a beat, put it that way. And it just, you know, went on and on, and I started, I found ways to be able to record, and I started recording. I did my first demo in 99, and then like a 14 track demo. I wasn't able to do much with it. Then I did another one in 2000, and then I took it to a few labels. I was trying to get to a major label, but I had no way to do it. And I found that there was a independent label in Akron, you know, where I lived, and they liked it, signed me, and I stayed with them for a couple years, and then that contract ended up being the demise of my first marriage part of it. Anyway, such is life. You know, one contract ends one marriage, another contract ends another, right?
Right.
But I ended up there with them, and they never released I had an album I've been working on. I basically had become the producer for the record label. And I would basically go into the studio and record, produce, all day, like it was a job. Like 8 hours a day, I'm in a recording studio just making beats and recording. And I was like Tupac work ethic. I had like hundreds of songs. And mind you, you know, 15, 16 years ago. And I ended up leaving the record label and releasing the project myself in 2003 independently of the independent label. And it did really well. Like, I only got like a couple thousand copies pressed up because all I could afford to get pressed up, but I sold all of them. So it was a success, you know. And then a small you know, a couple thousand CDs, a big deal. I continued to do music, and, you know, and just I never got a chance to release anything else. I just continued to record, and I had a good following. I had a decent name back then. I was more of a battle rapper, so I had a name back then for that. You know, people would kind of knew me for that. And, I, you know, again, I kept continued, but I was doing secular music, and I was, it wasn't like gangster, kill 'em up, you know, pimp, you know, this negative necessarily music. It was like lyrical. It was lyrical. You know, it was more on the lines of Eminem. Like, honestly, like I had, and my style was very similar to Eminem. So when he came out, a lot of people that I knew back home were like, yo, this guy stole your style. And I'm like, he didn't steal my style. He doesn't know who I am. We just happen to have similar styles. Like, you know, people hear that and be like, yeah, sure. I'm like, no, it's actually the truth. And we, like, I can, you know, play a demo I did in 99, which was the same year that the Slim Shady LP came out. And you'd be like, holy crap, you guys rapped exactly the same about the exact same thing. It was the same year, you know.
Right, right. But, yeah, it's crazy.
You know, nobody knows that now. Right. You know, nobody knows that now, but people knew it back then. And, you know, basically, I just continued with that. And I, you know, worked to try to get a contract. And I came close on a few occasions and never worked out. And I got with a producer. I stopped making the beats on my own and got with him. And he was my producer. And then I got into wrestling, got my first divorce, and a lot of stuff happened, blah, blah, blah. Then I ended up with WWE, and him and I, the producer I had, we were working on a demo, and we got about 8 songs into it, and I got with WWE, and then towards the end of my career with WWE, I guess kind of had a spiritual awakening, if you will, in 2010, and decided, and that was when I discovered Lecrae and other Christian rappers, you know, Christian hip-hop, period. And, I always grew up on Christian music, but it was like church music, like choirs.
I was the same exact way. I never really realized it was out there until I stumbled upon Lecrae, which, same exact way.
It's crazy, right? Because, like, when you get to a certain point in life where in 2010, I didn't want to hear the language anymore. I didn't want to hear the content anymore. I couldn't. And, you know, I
ain't that crazy though? Isn't that like insane? How, like, I don't know how old you are, Michael, but like I'm 39. I'm about to be 40. But I for real, like, in the last 8 years, I'll say 8, but it's definitely in the last 6. I'm to the point where I'm like, I can't listen to that noise in my ears, man.
I can't listen to it anymore.
It makes my skin crawl.
It's not your lifestyle anymore. You know, if it even was, it's not your lifestyle. It's not, you can't relate to it. It's not, you know.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yes, I know exactly what you mean. Right.
And I figured this was, I feel like music or entertainment or just some kind of speaking role when I'm speaking to people is my calling or part of it. So, you know, I decided if I'm going to do it, then I'm going to do it for the right reason. So I just made a decision to change all of my music to Christian music. And I went back to Ohio and literally re-recorded every song, rewrote and re-recorded every song that I did and made them Christian songs. And the song that Cabana played on this podcast was actually one of those songs like 5 years ago.
I remember that. I remember listening to that.
Yeah. I was like, God, you picked that song? It was 5 years old. You couldn't pick one of the new ones. But it was all good. I was just grateful that he played one of my songs. I was very grateful
that
he played one of my songs. And I was like, God, like, you picked an old one. But, you know, I was very grateful, but... that was actually one of the songs, and it was like an 8-song demo or EP is what it was going to be, and, you know, and when things fell apart, you know, with my contract, I lost relationships with everybody, including the producer, and he basically kind of was like, you know, he didn't want to work with me anymore because I went Christian. I'm like, well, we just recorded 8 songs, and now you don't want to work with me because I went Christian? Like, and it was a 10-year friendship. We're like brothers, so I'm like, okay, we haven't spoken since. And started over, and for the past 4 years in rebuilding my life personally, you know, I got into powerlifting and motivational speaking and stuff like that. Like, I've been to military bases and high schools and mission trips and, like, Costa Rica and doing stuff, like, spiritually, trying to, like, be a better person, you know, behind the scenes. While people you know, in the world, in the wrestling world, think I'm this horrible person. You know, I'm actually trying to better myself behind the scenes, you know, take care of my kids and whatnot.
Right.
And I basically just did research and tried to figure out how to get my music career started again, you know, because I just knew that I had to find a way. So I did research, built a home recording. I sit in my living room or my dining room every day and record. And just set up my computer, set up my microphone, set up all my equipment, and just produce and record all day long. Produce and record, and then go to the gym and train, and you know, and just produce and record all day long. Like that's what I do, and it's something you got to commit to. And I did that, and you know, unless without money, you know, because I spent every dime I had on my divorce, and it's just one of those things where you believe in something so much that you have no idea how it's going to happen. You just know. You just don't know how, but you just know. And I just knew. And here we are today, you know.
You know what it's called? It's called faith. It's called
faith.
I'm not gonna sit there and tell you I'm the overly Christian, like Bible quoting person, but there's a verse in I think it's Hebrews 11, and you know it talks about that. It's like, you know, I forget the exact quote, but it's having faith, you know. Believing in things, having belief in things that are unseen, and
I
feel you.
Yeah, belief in things that are unseen. Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I hear you on that.
And that's basically what it was. I had to find a way, you know, and I had to start. I lost everything I had. I lost all my music, bro. I started over making beats out of an iPhone. That's how I started this. I'm like, no, I kid you not. And Apple is just so – I hate Apple, but they're so slick that you can literally – like you can – I basically built this whole thing from using Apple software. Like it's and you know, some Apple hardware, but Apple is just amazing when it comes to music. And you know, it was a production production software that you can actually download. $15 production software. It's an app you can download, and you can make beats. And it's like – it's real. And like GarageBand is one of them. Like I used GarageBand, but it wasn't GarageBand that I was using. It's called Nano Studio, is what it's called. And you can actually make, you can sample, you can make real beats.
It's only $15.
It's a $15 app. And I'm like, oh my, and I downloaded it in front of, like, one of the producers working when he told me about it, and I downloaded it because I had an iPhone at the time. And I wanted an iPhone. Here's God. I wanted an iPhone so bad, finally got one. This was in 2012. It might have been 2011. I think it was 2011. I wanted an iPhone so bad, finally got an iPhone, and I only had the iPhone for 3 months because I hated it. Hated the iPhone. But during the time period where I had the iPhone, the producer that I was kind of communicating with to potentially work with, he knew that I actually produced it. Like, you should try this app. It's called Nano Studio. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, check it out. You know, download it. You know, so I downloaded it into my phone, bought it. I looked into it, and at first I'm like, whoa, this is way too complicated. I hadn't used, you know, all of the old, just the new production software is extremely complicated. Unless you do it enough and you get the hang of it, because it's all similar to a degree, but if you don't know what you're looking at, it's like looking at, trying to read Japanese, you know, if you don't speak Japanese. But
right.
So at first, you know, I looked at it and I'm like, oh, gosh, I can't do this. You know, so I don't know what happened. And a month or two later, I was back home in Ohio and I just got on the phone. I'm looking at it and I'm like, let me try this again. Sure enough, I made a beat. I'm like, holy crap, I can do this. So I started making more and more and more and more and learning this and learning. Then I started wanting to learn more. So I started, like, I would YouTube and Google and just search any about the software and how to use it and watch videos on it. Then I started learning how to make more beats and learning how to sample, learning all the different parts of the software and just learning just more and more and more, you know, and then even more different kinds of software. It just grew. My knowledge started to grow, and I started to learn even more about producing than I already knew, you know, and
Yeah.
And just then it turned into, I'm like, okay, now I got all of these beats. I had like hundreds of beats. I'm like, well, what do I do with them? So I started writing again. I started writing new songs. And then I had hundreds of songs. I'm like, what do I do with these? And I'm like, well, how am I supposed to ever record, you know, because I had no access to anything. And one of the trips I went to Oklahoma, I would go to Oklahoma, to Lubbock, Oklahoma, to Fort Sill Army Base, because my cousin had retired from the Army there. And he would fly me out, and I would go speak to the soldiers there. And I actually came across a Christian producer, a gospel music producer, and he had this beautiful studio there. And he heard some of my music, loved it, and we didn't sign a contract, but we were going to. And he was going to release my music, and we're going to, you know, and it just never happened. But
right.
I actually got to record like two songs, but that was the problem. Like I got my whistle wet, and I'm like, holy crap! I actually got to record two songs, like on the new beat that I made. Like, okay, I got to find a way to continue doing this, and that relationship ended badly. That was the fire that I needed. I went and searched and found everything I needed to start recording. I basically upgraded from my iPhone to an iPad because it's the same thing. And
yeah.
You know, on my iPad, and then went from there to I got a laptop, and then from there I got, you know, all the equipment I needed to improve the sound. I literally record. I got like 300 or 400 songs that I've recorded 300 or 400 times in the past 4 years or 3 years, and here I am, you know, today. Now finally I was able to organize them and copyright them, and I got, you know, looked up how to organize things with the business wise and all of that, and how to become my own public entity, you know, company and so forth and so on. And man, it's just been a journey. And what I did was I took all of the songs and organized them into 8 albums or projects.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
The first one, it was released today. It'll be available on iTunes and Google Play and all of those things within the next 2 weeks. But
okay,
it's available today at cdbaby.com. And that's the name of, as a matter of fact, let me. Yes, it's the link is www.cdbaby.com/cd/B201, and that's the buy link. So you click on that link, and it'll bring you right to my album, and you know, the picture of it and all of that, the tracks, and or you just, you know, log on to cdbaby.com and search B2.0/2.0sounds, and my profile will come up.
Okay. But, yeah, and I'm gonna tweet it out a little bit later, and then I got a Facebook page for my podcast that it ain't too big. I mean, I've only been at it 2 months, and this is only my second month doing it, and I'm at 2,300 followers at this point. So it's growing. It just takes time, man. I'll put it on there and get my my listeners to hopefully check it out. And I listened to, like I said, I was listening to a couple of the tracks, and I think one of them was Running Hide. I was like, oh yeah, I gotta get that and put it on my. I gotta put that on my iPod. And yeah, man, there's some good stuff, man. But I'm glad to hear, you know, it worked out for you, and that, you know, you got it launched and it's gonna be available now, and you're working on getting it on all kind of platforms that way the fans can get it. Because, you know, I think there's one thing about Christian rap or Christian R&B, and your music has got a little bit different sound to it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but it's definitely, it's catchy. Like, it's not a bad thing. It's like, it's catchy. It's something that, like, I could work out to it. That's how I define
it.
it's good to hear.
Yeah. I always describe it. Because I sing, I write, I do, you know, a lot of different, but the beauty of it is that I didn't just grow up on hip hop. I grew up on like rock music. And you know, some classical music as well. But I grew up a lot on a lot of rock music because, you know, where I grew up. And so I've always had that feel, you know, and just as many favorite hip-hop artists I have like favorite rock bands. So you hear that in my music, and I guess you can describe it as kind of, I call it Tronic, because it's the name of the sound. And it's just my catchy little way of labeling the name of the sound, like an electronic sound, basically, but like a dubstep hip hop rock kind of sound, and I use a lot of classical samples and a lot of violin. You know, just I love the violin. It's my favorite instrument. The violin and the harp, and those are my two favorite, like the string instruments. Those are my two favorites. And just to me, that's the most beautiful sound ever created, is the violin and the harp, and after that, the guitar. But I use a lot of, you know, a lot of those things, a lot of samples, as far as that's concerned, with, you know, classical music. But yeah, so it's a lot of dubstep. You know, a lot of dubstep rock, you know, basically, and I kind of add like kind of a sprinkle of hip hop beats, hip hop into the beat, basically, and then I rap over it or I'll sing over it, you know, and
basically
trying to do a different sound.
It's some good stuff. I like it, man. It's unique, so I guess. is the best way to put it. And I, look, man, I'm not a music person when I say that. Like, literally,
I appreciate
when
it.
I'm working, for real, when I work out, like if I'm doing cardio, I either got my tablet up, watching some, yeah. you know, some sports or something, or if I got, if I'm lifting, I do have my iPod in, but typically I'll listen to, like, you know, I'll listen to various podcasts on various topics, whether it's wrestling
yeah,
or,
yeah.
you know, sports related. So for me to tune in to music and be like, oh, all right, I can kind of dig that. That says a lot, you know, for me. So I hope everybody will check it out. I will put the link up on my Twitter. I got two of them, as you probably can see. I got my personal
yeah.
one, and I got my podcast Twitter, and then I got my podcast Facebook page. I'll put it on there. That way people know where to find it. And I'll do it now, and then I'll do it when your episodes hit, because I think that'll give you a little bit more outlets to it. But, man, that's some good stuff, man. I'm glad it worked out for you, and glad you even went down that rabbit hole, so to say, to start doing it again, because
yeah.
It sounds good, man. It really does.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, man. It means a lot.
Hey, no problem. Well, look, we're going to wrap this puppy up now. So, look, I just want you to know, man, you gave me an hour and 45 minutes, and I figured I'd get 30 to 60 minutes. So, for real. I your time's valuable. I tell all of my guests that, and I appreciate you coming on and you know, just shooting the bull with me and talking about your wrestling career and things that happened to you along with your faith. And, you know, we didn't get into one thing. I'm not a power lifter. I'm just somebody who's lost about 100 pounds.
Well, that's good. That's great.
Yeah, well, I do my cardio and I lift, but yeah, man, I didn't get into the powerlifting stuff, and I wanted to because I see that you post a lot on stuff like that from time to time. Maybe we can do it again one time in the future. But man, I appreciate
anytime
you coming on. I really do.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. And I have something I wanted to tell you, and I cannot remember what. Damn. I don't know, whatever it was. But no, you keep doing well, and we'll get that promoted for you, man. Again, thanks, man. For anything you want to tell the fans before we go, like as far as your Twitter goes and places to find
yeah.
stuff for you at?
Yeah. Twitter, Instagram are the same, at Tyrone Evans B20. Facebook, I have a fan page. It's Tyrone Evans - Michael Tarver. And, you know, it's really what I'm trying to remember what my Snapchat is, but. I do have a Snapchat. I feel like an old man, but I do have. I'm just now starting to figure out how to use it. But okay, Snapchat is the same. Tyrone Evans B20 is my Snapchat, or MTARB 1.9. The new project, the first project is out. It's called the God Help Us Project. 22 songs. It's a 22. I call it a 22 track warning shot. Because basically the next project will be out immediately within the next couple of months. It'll be called The Sheep in Wolves Clothing. And every seven months, I'll be releasing a new project every 7 months. I plan on showering as many years as I can with music. And
I hear you.
You know, and that's it. You can get it at cdbaby.com. And it'll be available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all those other places within the next couple of weeks. So it'll be up in those places too.
Cool. That's good to know. And you still working indies too, right?
I do. Yeah, I'm actually. I'll be on the show with FIP tonight in Tampa, Florida. Full Impact Pro will be available on WWN Live. Big match with a guy named Rhett Gibbons, young guy. Got a little bit of a story with him. So I mean, we're gonna have some fun.
Yeah. Okay. This is ironic. I was telling. I interviewed Trina Michaels last night. She's working for Wildcat Sports and Entertainment this 2 weeks from now. Well, by the time this airs, it's gonna be on. That would have happened. But anyway, we were plugging that, and then I sat down and we had a formal actually interview where, you know, she talks about wrestling and whatnot. So yeah, that's cool. That I didn't even realize. I don't know if she's working that one too, but yeah, I just interviewed her last night.
Trina. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
Trina.
Well,
she did. Sweet girl.
She said that. She said that because I said when she said Full Impact Pro, I was like, I thought I seen a flyer with you on, and I was like with Michael Tarver. She's like, yeah, I know him. I was like, I'm supposed to talk to him tomorrow. She's like, yeah, he's real cool. I've worked with him before.
Yeah.
So
she's a sweet girl.
She was. It was fun. It was fun talking to her and having her plug the stuff for Wildcat because. I'm pretty close tied to that organization in New Orleans because I know the owner pretty well. So,
I know Luke. Yeah, Luke is my boy. I know Luke.
Yeah, man. Everybody that listens to my story would be, or listen to my podcast, you're like, we're tired of hearing about how you know Luke. Because my guests don't know that I know Luke. Me and Luke have known each other for forever, ten years at this point. So, yeah. I've known him for a while. So I help him, with the show. I'll help promote his shows and whatnot. Because I got a lot of listeners down there.
That's the homie.
Yeah. Luke's a cool dude, man. I met him before I met Byron, actually. I'm trying to think.
Okay.
I don't remember. Byron's a
good friend of mine. That's my brother right there.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, like, when I interviewed him, I set it up. He was one of the first – I think he was the first guy I had on my show. He goes, man, he's like, dudes will do podcasts all day long. He's like, just tell me who you want and I'll get them. And he literally sent me your information, but – I started getting busy. I was doing other interviews. I'm like, I gotta get in touch with him. And sure enough,
no, it's all good.
I was like, I saw your music thing that day. I was like, man, I gotta contact him. Sent you a message, and you got back to me within like 20 minutes. So, I was appreciative of that, man. I really am, Michael. Thank you very much for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Thank you for having me.
Hey, well, stay in touch, man, and I'll be following you and retweeting your stuff to my listeners. And you take care, okay?
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
All right, y'all. Big shout out to Michael Tarver, who you can follow on Twitter at TyroneEvansB20, for coming on. We've had numerous guests on the podcast at this point, and Tarver's been one of my favorites. He's a great guy, great story. Grateful that he was willing to give me so much of his time. We spent about 2 hours on the phone. That's why I had to break it up into two different parts. Thanks again, Tyrone. Like I said, anytime you want to come back, man, you're welcome on. Also talked about the donation link last week. Hey, man, we're not begging for money, but hell, if you want to donate, we'll take it and put you in the raffle for a T-shirt. I'm going to leave it at that. The sign-up button's on the Facebook page, and you can get there on our podbean.com link as well. There's a donation link. Before we get into the Twitter questions and comments from this week, I want to say thanks again to Better Choices, Jason Smith from Farmers and Teenage Wrestling Palace. Make sure you're also following us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. And like our Facebook page at Booking the Territory. We went over 5,000 likes, like I was telling y'all last week. We're at, I think, about 5,060 at this point. Make sure you send in those comments and questions for ROH, TNA, and WWE. Mostly everything we're getting is Raw. So, like I was telling you in the opening, we got Harper back this week, and we got Doc Turner. But first, Harper, what's up, man? We missed you last week. What happened?
Bro, I don't know, bro. I had computer problems and I needed the Wildcat technician Andrew to help me out to get the Skype back up on my computer, but it should be working now.
I'm gonna have to hire Andrew, man. I need a new technical, because I'm doing it all by myself at this point. Doc Turner's no fucking help. But anyway, that's real classy, I know. But hey, man, I'm just shooting straight. Hey, Doc, I would ask you how you're doing. But I already know the answer, because word on the streets is that you're one salty son of a bitch thanks to Romo being hurt and Brandon Whedon contributing to the cow shit debacle and doing a job on Sunday to the Dirty Birds. But I'll ask anyway, Doc, what's happening?
Man, football is stupid. Wrestling is stupid. We might as well wrap this shit on up. Thanks for coming, everybody.
That's nice.
Man, my Texas Rangers are trying to give up they got in first place. They're trying to give it up now over the weekend, man. Let me give you some hard times, Dusty Rhodes style. I got a 7-month pregnant wife with a stomach virus in the other room. Dems is some hard times.
That's real classy.
I ain't here to fucking be classy. I'm here to book a motherfucking territory, so let's get started.
There's the guy who doesn't bump. All right.
I ain't got a bump. I got the book, son.
Oh, okay. Sure. Well, Doc, I'm still pissed off at you at this point, because once again, no questions from Adam this week. Thank you, Doc, for running away, one of our loyal listeners, because you're too busy playing. Hold on. You're playing Mr. Internet Podcast Tough Guy, like all these freaking nerds that do podcasts out there. Adam, if you're listening, my apologies on Doc's behalf. Please feel free to message the show. I'll make sure that Doc Turner does not crap on your topics and questions again. And who knows? We may even invite you on the show one day, Adam, so that you can respond to Doc personally. But Doc, you're about to say something?
Oh, I don't give a shit. You're worried about Adam not being here. I ain't lost a wink of sleep over it.
Okay, Mr. Internet Podcast Tough Guy. Hey, Harper, ain't that right? You get all these idiots that do podcasts,
yeah,
and they just, like, get swollen nuts on these shows. Like, ah, oh, fuck Roman Reigns. He ain't shit. I'm like, bro, you ain't never heard me say that about, nah, one WWE.
Yeah, for real, bro. That's like people shit all over John Cena. It's like he's the best guy there.
Doc Turner?
Dude.
What?
I mean, he's the only guy holding that place together for the most part.
Come on, come on, Hamburger Helper. You know better than that.
Yeah.
That's real classy.
I expected more from a Cowboys fan.
You can't, dude. They don't have much integrity, them Cowboys fans. Oh, man.
What does integrity have to do with winning multiple Super Bowls?
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, 40 years,
I'm going to tell you.
Bro.
40 years ago, dude, you in your diapers. Hey, this is a serious story. I'll never forget. I wasn't going to say this, but you know what? You want to talk about history? I'll never forget a few years back, they're the Cowboy fan. It was like 2013, 2012. He goes, yeah, man, that's why we ruined y'all perfect season and blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, in 2009 when we won the Super Bowl? Oh, why you got to bring up the past, asshole? Man, you're always talking about five Super Bowls. That,
yeah,
I was wearing
real,
diapers
huh?
on that shit. Now, man,
why you gotta bring
I'm like,
up old shit?
I'm like, what's it gonna be? We gonna talk about the past or the present? Come
yeah,
on now,
about Troy Aikman and all, bro. This ain't Tecmo Bowl.
Come on, man. Come on, guys. Not that difficult.
I can't speak for some idiot. Idiots are everywhere. But what's y'all's record right now? If we're gonna talk about the here and now,
hey man, we are 0-3. Suck.
What's Dallas,
dude?
Two and one, brother. 2-1.
Excuse me. World Breakers.
Yeah.
And you know what's going to happen Sunday? They're going to be 2-2. Watch.
We're going to come down there and finish what Katrina started.
Oh, that's no.
It's Harper. That's
bro,
real bad.
Come on, bro. I still got a FEMA trail in front of my house, man. Come on, bro.
Bro, that's real classy. We don't stoop that low.
It's hard to say that with Brandon Whedon running the show, though. I got it.
Yeah. Nah, he comes clean. All right, look, I don't want to talk about this no more because we all know the Dallas Cowboys love living in the past. They sit there and they talk about their five Super Bowls that they won when the Egyptians were still running the planet. Let's not go there. So, hey, let's get to this stuff. And Harper, don't worry if you didn't catch too much of Raw because you really didn't miss anything.
Well,
and honestly,
not the last hour of it, but the last hour and a half.
I got you. It's some Raw stuff, but the stuff we got tonight, man, it ain't going to blow your doors off where you won't be able to answer.
Yeah.
So Twitter, we're going to do Twitter first. So at THOG94, since I can't watch Raw this week, I'm going to be a little mentally irregular, just like Doc Turner. THOG94, you got that right, because that is one mentally irregular son of a bitch. Doc, I'll let you chime in since I insulted you.
I'm a motherfucking doctor. There ain't nothing mentally regular about me. I'm mentally above everybody else. How about that?
Doctor.
Doc is the short form of doctor, you sorry ass sons of bitches. Now let's talk about some wrestling.
Okay. At Cordell Kevin. Hustle, loyalty, hashtag booty. Best saying ever. And Harper, if you didn't see it, that was Big E. Talking about booty last night on Raw. Right. So, Doc, I'll let you address that one. You like that one.
Man, I'm going to tell you this, Harper. If you're going to pick 1 hour to watch, the first hour would have been the hour to watch. Because, man, New Day, they were balling out last night. I ain't going to lie. That was amongst a string of kick-ass performances from New Day. That might have been the best.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah. It was good. It was awesome, dude. It was awesome. Xavier Woods coming out playing trombone to John Cena's entrance music. That dude's a freaking genius. Yeah, it was really good stuff, man. Wildcat needs to do that. Get somebody, not with a trombone, but, you know, like some kind of trumpet or something. Nah, you can't do that. Then you'd be biting off on everybody. Oh, they're trying to be WWE.
Well, yeah.
No, don't.
See, there was hustle, loyalty, and booty, and then Big E called him a booty, And the trombone was just hilarious. But the other part that cracked me up was when Big E was still doing his sexy dance once the music already stopped. They were getting ready to cut their promo, and he was still sexy dancing, and there was no music playing.
Big E can cut a rug, dude. He's got that wiggle. He does that wiggle now, dude. He cuts a rug in that wiggle. It's great. It's great. It really is. It's real classy. It's real classy. Hey, that was at Cordell Kevin that brought that up. But then we got another one. No, two more. I'm gonna read them together. At ALH Pro Photo says, in reference to the New Day, they are my favorite. The roundtable they had on the network was amazing. I watched it actually this morning while I was doing cardio. It's pretty cool. And then at Nick Jason Lopez says, I'd totally get a Hustle Loyalty Booty shirt if one existed. Just saying. Hashtag Raw.
Yeah, that would sell like crazy, man.
Dude, they'd be printing money if they print a shirt like that. Printing money. What do you think, Doc?
You know what? Well, Vince probably make another John Cena t-shirt instead.
He probably would. Hey, man, you want to talk about Cena, dude? I saw a couple of tweets last night. They were talking about, okay, I admit it. I got Divas, Total Divas coming up at 8 o'clock Central Time in about 18 minutes.
Ah, damn.
I got the DVR getting ready to roll. I got to watch it with my wife, man. I mean, you know, she asked me to watch, so I figured out. We don't watch much else together, so aww. I'm just trying.
Is that what constitutes a romantic evening in the Mills household?
You got two kids, man. Probably, yeah. That's how it rolls sometimes. So anyway, dude, they got this thing where it's like Dolph Ziggler. I saw a tweet last night, but I'll give you the context of the tweet. Dolph Ziggler is like hitting on Nikki Bella, talking about, I can give you anything you want. We can get married. We can have kids. John can't give you that. And I'm like, we always talk about stuff being a work. I'm like, come on. That's a work and a half. Trust me, if that dude was trying to hit on Nikki Bella, he would be fired right now.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Seriously. Anyway, I saw a tweet that said if that was true, Dolph would be fired. And I totally agree. So that goes to show you it's all a work, but it's an entertaining work, I got to say. Anything? Yeah, come on, fellas. Y'all got to admit it. Y'all watch that stuff. Come on, man. Come clean.
Totally Divas?
Yeah.
No. I've never sat through one episode of it.
I'm a grown-ass man, and I enjoy it.
I tried 5 minutes one time, and I was cursing your ass out from afar trying to get me to watch that horse shit.
Oh, you sons of bitches don't know good entertainment when it slaps you.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you this, Mr. Wrestling Podcast. Did you watch Ring of Honor this week?
No.
Man, why you going to catch me with my pants down, man? You know I missed it.
So you ain't going to watch
man,
the
best. Man, dog, I got kids and sports activities.
Right,
and
you ain't going to watch the best wrestling promotion on TV, on big TV, national TV that I can get a hold of, or New Japan. You ain't watched that, but you damn sure ain't going to miss your Total Divas. Damn.
I didn't say I wasn't going to watch it. I just said time has gotten away from me.
Whatever.
It's on the DVR. It's going to be watched. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's move to the next thing. At Rowdy CJ on Twitter says, because nothing says hashtag NFL competition like Big Show versus Mark Henry, hashtag Raw. I think he was trying to be sarcastic.
Yeah.
Is that the way you take that, Doc?
I don't know. God dang. So Mark Henry and Big Show are rolling out for what, part 38 of their riveting series, the best of 39 series?
It actually wasn't bad in comparison to everything else that was on Raw last night.
Here's the other thing. I ain't burying either guy because I think both of those guys could have a place if the company knew how to use either one of them.
I've always liked Mark Henry, man. I've always been a real, real big Mark Henry fan.
And
I couldn't put a finger on why, but I really like that dude.
I've heard him on other podcasts. He seems like a really good dude, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's cool. Hey, I was about to say he's been on the contract. I thought I saw him on. He wasn't. Nah, it was just him and Luke on a picture. He wasn't on a card. I was about to ask Harvey if he was on a Wildcat card, but
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's when
they were down there. They had a show one time. I remember y'all were like in a French Quarter with.
Yeah, God, that's when we first started. That's when like 4 or 5 years ago.
Damn, that shit that old?
Yeah.
Damn.
That was our very first show. You know when it was? It was when he had the Extreme Rules.
Yeah. I remember that. right. That's right. And he was down there. Because mm-hmm. he was a champ at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, Mark Henry comes across a real cool cat. And like I said, man, I didn't have a problem, actually. It was actually one of the more entertaining matches of the night, if you want to go by matches, to me, from last night. Let's go to the next one. At David underscore Step. This dude won Twitter last night because the NFL is a work. We all know it's a work. Everything's a work. But everybody wants to talk about wrestling's a work. He says, I give zero fucks about the Chiefs versus the Packers, or else I'd be watching that. He was alluding to the fact that he was watching Raw. So, hands, you know, my hat's off to this dude. He pegged it because I couldn't watch that nonsense. Man, I can't watch the NFL. If it's not the Saints, I can't watch the NFL.
Bro.
As bad as the Saints are, I can't watch the NFL no more.
I think it's on TV too much, bro.
It is.
It's because you got college all – college football is on Saturday from, like, 10 o'clock to, like, midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, bro. And then you get a Thursday night game. They got college games on Friday night. Sunday, it's all, you know, NFL. Then it's the Monday night game. It's like, bro, come on, man.
That Thursday night game is a load of bullshit for several reasons.
Yeah.
That Thursday night game is just bull crap. NFL, here we go. A work. They talk about all these injuries.
They
well, damn, man, you're making people play 4 days after they played on Sunday. Come on, man.
It's true. And those games are always terrible on Thursday nights.
Terrible. Terrible. Only time I watch them now, got to be a Saints game.
Hey, you know what will be better? You know what will be better then? If the NFL's okay. too much, maybe two more games a season will make it better.
Oh, of course, yeah. That Roger Goodell logic 101 right there.
But
fucking they North Texas and UTA ought to give a class on how to be a dumbass, and on the textbook would be Roger fucking Goodell,
a dumbass who makes $43 million a year.
Christ,
that's
help.
Crazy, huh?
I tell you this though, I bet you because I heard Vince is pretty pissed off about the ratings dropping. I bet you that continued last night with the Packers and Chiefs. So, you know, I wouldn't be.
I don't even know who won that game.
Packers.
Packers. Denver.
Denver.
God dang. How you going to win if you ain't even
who
playing?
Who won the NFL game last night? Oh, I heard LSU took care of business.
Tulane will beat Southern Miss.
How you going to get fired on your day off? God dang.
You get fired on your day off and shit.
Stealing boxes.
Stealing boxes.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Vince doesn't start pulling out some Monday night tricks to try to keep people from switching over to the Monday night football work.
It's all the work, brother. All the work. Anyway, let's move right along. One more Twitter. At James Lee and at Four Finger Man. It was a big old long discussion. Anyway, it was a series of tweets, and they were like, between it all, every one of us was happy to see Natalya involved in a Diva 6-man tag, even though it was real short. And hopefully the push she gets is well-deserved. I agree. Actually, I want to tie that into another one we got on Facebook as well from, Doc's buddy Chip. This is a two-parter, but we'll do the first one first. It says, Mike, is it better for you for Natalya to be on the show and get punked or for her to completely be ignored? Why did he direct this at me? Because I said Natalya's hot? I guess. Thanks, Chip. I won't insult you. Yeah, I'm good, man. You know, ain't no shade, man.
Does that constitute a push? She was out there for like 2.5 minutes.
Well, you know, the worst part about that is what kind of damn angle are they setting up? Like, you know, who's involved with what? So Paige drops a pipe bomb, but then she's back with her teammate. I don't know. I got real that was real confusing. Like, that's what I didn't like about that whole segment. But anyway, I'm glad they threw Natalya in the mix, and hopefully that means something going forward. Because I do like the girls. I mean, everybody's all on Sasha Banks' jock. Well, not jock, but, you know, everybody's on Sasha.
How's that work?
Sasha Banks. Yeah, right. Sasha Banks. Everybody's all on Sasha Banks, but I like Natalya. I mean, nothing against Sasha Banks because I like her too, but I'm a big Natalya fan, always have been. I think she's been ignored. I don't know, Doc. I'll let you address that question because then I got another one for you.
Oh, boy.
In a minute.
That whole angle was goofy. The Miz is goofy. I thought out of all that, Becky Lynch came out looking the best. I thought she was ready to kick ass, and she was just telling people she was ready to kick ass. But man, I was like, so why is Paige there? Why is Paige leaving? Why is Natalya out here now? That's too much thinking for me to do on my off hours.
Too much thinking. Too much thinking. Hey, dude, hey, Harp, you know what's funny? Man, if Katie were in a match like that, dude, she'd put the rest of them girls to shit. Like, I'm not trying to say, like, Paige doesn't have a good body and all these other girls don't have a good body, but, like, Katie would, like, stand out. Like, they'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, bro, Katie's a walking fire hazard, bro, because I've been out with Katie, like.
Oh, I can only.
Like, we've, like, gone out together, like, me, her, and Luke, and, you know, the Wildcat people, man, and she stops traffic. I mean, it's people almost walking the telephone pole and all, bro.
You sure it's not you, hard body?
Hey, you're not somebody till you've been with hard body.
I brought that up. I want to remain a nobody then.
No, I brought that up because it's like the girls get out there and it's like. Like, I don't know, man. It's just, like Paige is kind of slim. You know, Doc Turner says, I'm not even going to say what he says about Natalya.
I think they do Charlotte's that because they don't want a typical playmate look. They want a woman that looks more realistic.
I guess. Even though they want to call them divas.
Yeah.
And, Doc, what do you think about Nikki Bella? Because, you know, our buddy THOG94. He loves when you shoot on the Nikki Bella stuff.
Then I ain't gonna do it.
Oh shit, man! That dude said he looks forward to that weekly.
he said he's a Giants fan too, didn't he?
Do not insult another listener.
I can get rid of all these sons of bitches if you can.
Hey, Thog 94, man, it's cool, man. I'm trying to get him to do the Nikki Bella impersonation, but he don't want to do it tonight. Anyway,
Don, you need to get your mouth off of Vince's dick and come give me some. I don't have my title anymore, and how am I going to get a baby inside me if you won't fuck me?
I hope to God you never run into Cena, and he hopefully has not heard this. Harper, hit him with it. Hit him with the hashtag.
That's real classy.
Okay, I'm really about to piss him off now. Brandon Whedon, this is from Chip.
God damn.
This is from Chip. Now, do we need to remind the fans what Chip said last week, Doc?
About some shit, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't tattoo with our listeners send in on my body every week so that I can look at it all week long. I don't know what he said.
Okay. Anyway, Chip's a Steelers fan.
Oh, God dang.
That guy, yeah, he said. I think that's what he said last week.
Let's go fuck ourselves.
No, well, I really didn't care. I mean, you know, the Saints are 0-2 now, 0-3. Well, whatever, dude. You ain't gonna insult me that bad. I lived through Archie Manning and Dave Wilson as QB.
Yeah,
so
why do we gotta talk about old stuff? I mean, let's talk.
Well, I'm insulting myself, but anyway, Chip says Brandon Whedon had Romo like numbers, but the Cowboys didn't win. No question there. Just Doc's team is screwed. So he's shooting on you. He's being polite. He didn't curse you out or nothing.
Okay. We are.
He's a Raider. He's a Raiders fan, remember. I mean, a Steelers fan.
Man, if I was if I'm Matt Castle, if I'm the Cowboys, I'm pouring alpha brain down his throat and trying to get him to learn that playbook because I've seen what Brandon Whedon can do, and it ain't good.
Well, how long is he going to be out for, Romo?
Forever.
Yeah.
Bastard, always getting hurt. Harper.
Week, yeah. It's, right now, the return is supposed to be the week before Thanksgiving.
Oh shit!
Hey, yeah. You know the best part about that?
Nothing.
I don't give a flying fuck.
Call up Danny White. Remember him?
Yeah, Danny White. He can probably move the chains.
Hey, Mike, are you 5'8"? Is that how tall you are?
Move him right along.
I was just going to say you could put on a Drew Brees jersey and run around as Drew Brees and be a person.
Dude, come on, bro. He'll be back Sunday, man.
I don't know, Hawk, but I think they're working us.
I hope so, bro.
I think they're working us, dude. Man, he's not coming back.
Let me tell you
this. He practiced today.
Yeah, I ain't buying it, dude. I, I like Sean Payton like to play gamesmanship. He'll like wait till the last minute just so that Garrett's got to hopefully prepare for the fact that Breeze might play, and then on Thursday afternoon he's like, oh, he's out.
Nah,
yeah, no, he's not playing.
Let me just say this. Me and Mike have been planning for weeks. Like, oh, man, when the Cowboys and the Saints play, we ought to have a bet on the air. Like, we could have all this shit happen. And, man, we started talking about it yesterday at work, and we're like, man, fuck football. Your team sucks. My team sucks. We ain't going to bet shit.
Hey, dude, no joke, though, Harper. We were talking about betting the loser gets tased with a taser.
I ain't putting my shit on the line.
Yeah,
I ain't putting my shit on the line with Brandon Whedon behind.
Dude, that was gonna be the bet. We were gonna be like, all right, loser gets tased. Now, low voltage taser, but still, loser gets tased. Okay, shit. Romo got hurt. Breeze got hurt. We were like, fuck that.
Good game. I hope you have a good game. I hope you have a good game.
Yeah, have a good game. Good luck this Sunday. I mean, damn, dude. We might. That's the thing, dude. We might be watching a shit show Sunday night.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, dude.
And we got to stay. We got to wait all day for Sunday night and shit. God.
I know, huh? That's the prime time game.
Prime time, doing the freaking J-O-B.
On a national level,
being a freaking shit show of the nation. All right, man, I got to get through these questions. Desmond on Facebook, what was the greatest thing ever? New Day calling Cena booty or Xavier playing Cena's theme on the trombone? What do you think, Doc?
I want to know. See, to me, the priceless thing would have been the backstage reaction where they had gone through all the ideas and then settled on booty. And how proud they must have been when they got to it. But I'm going to tell you what, that trombone makes me giggle every damn time. So I'm going to go with the trombone.
Yeah, yeah, it is funny.
Cena called out. He goes, who's going to take the challenge? And they did some good working right here. This is good work. They made him wait. And I was like, I wonder who it's going to be. And then you hear that trombone, and I just busted out laughing. I was like, that was perfect.
You know the best part about that? Harper, you know how the boys are in the back when something like that's going down? And, like, I mean, I don't know if when you're sitting back there and you're kind of watching it and you see it go down, like, the boys are probably just popping in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
They're coming unglued, like, at the monitor or at the curtain. Like, you see some stuff like that, you're like, holy crap, that was funny.
Yeah.
Dude, so believe me, they got as much of a reaction in the back as they got in the crowd. But that was some good friggin' stuff with the trombone, and I loved it, man. The thing is, dude, that was the best segment of the night, and it was in the first 15 minutes.
Sure was.
James on Facebook, Mike, did you root for Cena or Xavier? I wasn't rooting for anyone. I was just watching wrestling, James.
Wins and losses matter, my friend.
No.
Yeah. Says the no bumping son of a bitch.
Here's what I noticed out of that match. I was like, I mean, I know that in WWE they don't tie up, lock up to start a lot of matches. But man, Cena just ran across the ring like a video game and clotheslined the shit out of Xavier to start the match. I was like, damn, no build up, no nothing.
Just to take his head off. All right, so WWE builds up Roman Reigns as this new big bad superstar, but he stands backstage next to Orton, and Orton is 2 inches taller than Reigns. What gives? James, to be honest with you, man, you were paying a lot closer attention to that than I was, because it could have been the camera angle that made him look that much taller. I really don't know. Did you? I mean, Doc, you're a doctor. You're an intelligent fella. Did you notice the 2-inch difference that James is referencing?
Nah, man. If you're noticing that kind of shit, you might want to, get you out another bag of Cheetos and get you a nice comic book and just multitask during Raw. Because God dang, do you have a magnifying glass out too?
Harper, I know you didn't see the segment, but what do you think about him noticing the 2-inch difference? I'm sorry, man. I'm the one.
Hey, now
I'm telling Doc Turner to
know this guy. You think, something tells me he watches Raw with his pants off.
Wait a minute. Is that a problem? I thought that's how you
Jesus Christ. This going off the rails.
I bet he wears boxers, too.
Harper, that's real classy.
That's real. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm from Metairie.
All right, Doc, what were you about to say?
Say, I'm not supposed to bag on that punk-ass bitch Adam yet. You're talking about James here, man. James,
I'm not trying to make fun of him. No. I'm not trying to make fun of him.
Bitches can make all the difference in a man, so I hear, you know?
The dude said, but he stands backstage next to Orton, and Orton is 2 inches taller than Reigns. What gives? I can't believe someone really noticed it to that degree. I mean,
I think it really matters.
Like, I've never really. I can't even. What?
Maybe Reigns is hung like a tuna can. Who knows? Shit.
Who knows, man? Kickstand, man. It's the third leg. Wow. Off the rails. Awkward. All right, man. Bryce on Facebook. How many times has Big Show fart Mark Henry? Yeah, another Mark Henry question. I don't know. Doc,
SummerSlam 2007, they had a 13-minute and 47-second match that went to 3 near falls. Who the fuck cares? I don't know. It was all right last night for a few minutes.
Dude, do you realize? Hold on.
Here's what I realized.
I'm starting to think some of these listeners sending these questions to get you worked up and me too. I really am.
I think our fans need a drool cup or a crash helmet because they send in some of the dumb shittest questions I've ever heard in my life.
That's real classy. same person, Bryce, says, how many times will this happen in the future, referring to Big Show and Mark Henry?
As many times as Vince tells them to get their ass out there and fight.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Bryce and everybody else is going to tune into it on Monday Night Raw.
When they ought to be watching going to Wildcat or going to a local promotion and giving them their money or watching ROH or something.
No shit about that. I saw a meme this weekend that said, oh, you talk about support indie wrestling, that whole hashtag movement, support indie wrestling.
Yeah.
And you say everything about, oh, Kevin Owens and this one and that one, who's former indie wrestlers, but you don't even go to the indie shows that are good in your hometown. That is freaking gospel. That's like hashtag truth.
Okay, so let me ask you guys this. I ain't going to lie. TNA's pretty bad right now, and by pretty bad, I mean drizzling shits. But if WWE were doing the same storylines, you'd be giving them a bigger pass than TNA's getting right now. And most of our fans are going, I don't even watch TNA. So there you go.
Yeah, I agree. No argument.
Although TNA is pretty bad. I don't know.
Harper ain't watched TNA since Orlando left there. So yeah.
And then he made us watch it because he was on it.
You were probably like, I really don't watch
it. Yeah, for real, man. Come on, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm going to ask this question because he sent it in, and I want to shortchange the dude, but same guy says, so Paige is back with PCB for the tag and then leaves them. Yeah, we already kind of discussed that, and how silly was that booking? Doc, one sentence, how silly was that booking?
I don't know. I was confused, and I'm smarter than everybody else, so shit, pretty silly.
You're smarter than the average bear, huh?
I'm smarter than all the bears.
Yeah, that's real good. No,
it is real good. Let me tell you, firsthand, it is real fucking good to be this fucking smart.
Okay. Hey, man, you're a doctor.
Doctor.
I'm a peon. Knock yourself out, brother. All right. Last one, Ferdinand on Facebook. So King Barrett is back. Where did he go? Oh, dear God.
That's actually kind of funny.
I'm telling you, I really believed. The freaking rib is on us. People are submitting like crazy questions because they know we'll sit back and be like, yeah, that was not really entertaining.
I'm going to tell you.
So I don't know, Doc, where did he go?
I don't know, but I'm telling you this right now. If our listeners don't pick it up and ask better questions or make better comments next week, we're going to turn this sumbitch into a football podcast.
That might actually be kind of fun if we do a football one, actually. Like not like a second one. Anyway, hey, did you know about Wade Barrett? He actually dated for like 2 years, Alicia Fox, according to Total Divas, the work.
Total Divas.
Really? Nah.
Yeah, yeah. He was tapping that for 2 years, man, according to her. And she says it on the show all the time. Oh, my God, I'm so heartbroken. I loved him.
Speaking of women, this one's a blast from the past. Did y'all see that Sonny got picked up and thrown in jail this past week?
Yeah, for what?
Now, I saw that, but I don't know for what. Yeah, well, was she playing with JR's barbecue? Because you heard about that.
Yeah,
Twitter.
I did hear about that.
But go ahead. I don't know what she got arrested for.
Dude, it was something about not posting bond or something from a previous DUI, but they wanted a couple of grand and she didn't have it. And then there's something else about her and Ashley Massaro got into a Twitter war, and Ashley Massaro got mad and put some pictures out there of Sonny, and it's let's just say it's about as graphic as you want to get.
Yeah. Sonny, God. I used to want to bang her so bad when I was a kid, dude. When I was in high school, good God.
Man, she was at the top of the mountain. Now she is the mountain.
No, the whole Twitter thing that time was like somebody made a fake JR Twitter account, and they were like tweeting Sonny, and Sonny thought it was really JR, and Sonny, and like it started innocent.
You know that Sonny Skypes for money, like she'll take it off on Skype with you for money.
Yeah.
I will too, guys. So if you guys want to send me some money,
that's real classy. It's real classy. But no, man, Sonny was tweeting like this fake JR account, and this guy was, whoever it was really acting like he was JR. And Sonny was like, oh, JR, that's so nice, because he was like complimenting her at first. And then the fake JR was like, yeah, well, if that's so nice, well, what do you think we can do with some of this barbecue sauce? And she's like, JR, what do you mean? He's like, hey, well, you know, baby, we can use that barbecue sauce for a little action and a little lubrication.
Like, I'm going to tell your wife.
And Sonny was like, I'm going to tell your wife, JR. That's not like you. The whole time, Sonny thought.
Working the workers. Working the workers.
She thought she was talking to the real JR. She wasn't. Oh, dude, it was hilarious.
I don't know if y'all saw this, too, but this week X-Pac ripped his one of his pectoral muscles and probably gonna need some surgery. So
I didn't know.
That's what happens when you get old.
Yeah, kind of, sorta. I mean, hey y'all, I ain't got no more questions. So hey Harp, you got anything you want to plug? I know you don't do your Twitter thing, but I know you're on Facebook and whatnot. Anything? Any upcoming shows or nothing?
I just know we got the show November 14th.
November 14th.
And that car's not put together yet. But
yeah, I saw he hadn't. I know, I didn't see anything about it yet.
Yeah.
But I knew it was on a 14th. What about you, Doc, man? You got anything before we get out of here?
And let me tell you something. Break it down right now. Adam may not have sent nothing in for the last few weeks, but I guarantee you that punk bitch is listening. So, hello, Adam. Now go fuck yourself.
That's really, really nice. I mean, you really had to be an asshole like that. I mean, damn, dude. But anyway, so Adam, again, if message me on Facebook, please, on the podcast page, and just let me know, man. I'm actually seriously considering bringing you on the show and letting you address Doc Turner to see if he'll back down, because I know he can be a bit of a wuss if somebody actually confronts him. So, Adam, hit me up, man, on the podcast page, and let's see if Doc Turner's really got the balls that he uses when he's on this show.
I'll use them. I just got to dig them out of your mouth first.
Okay. Ha, ha, ha. That's so funny. So, again, everybody, that's facebook.com/ Booking the Territory. Hit us up there. Send in your topics for us to discuss every single week on the show. Twitter is at BTT_podcast and at Mike504Saints. Harper's on Twitter, but he never uses it, at CJHWhoDat, if one day he'll check it.
Yeah.
And again, thanks to all the sponsors, Better Choices, Jason Smith from Farmers Insurance, and Teenage Wrestling Palace. I really appreciate y'all supporting the show and helping us pay the bills that we have to pay in order to have a podcast. Other than that, I probably won't kill Doc Turner this week because, I don't know, at this point, the Cowboys and the Saints is going to be like, lame. We don't have anything else. So until next time, make sure you stay mentally irregular. Make sure you use Kevin Cordell's hashtag booty for the New Day Rocks. And that is about it. We will catch you next time. So for Mike, Doc, and Harper, Hard Body Harper, we got one thing for y'all. Book it.